Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
GP2 dribbles across to the near wing. Finds Seth Curry. Quick release and splash! He's tied the game at 95. Seth Curry, welcome to the Warriors. It's the second tie of the game.
Dub Nation, it's Seth Curry. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
Can I do a reiteration sensation?
You can, and I just before you do that, and
thank you.
I didn't hear the game on the radio because it was past my bedtime, but yep. I'm just wondering if Tim Roy at any point went, Curry! For Seth Curry? Because the step back over Chet.
Yeah, like, we got legs flying in different directions.
Dude, and in real time, it was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing? But at the same time, do you?
I mean, 6 for 7. Seven.
That's over.
Sorry. It just moves down. It moves down.
If like, my 3-year-old hits me with a 6-7,
she might. See, she
goes to her room.
I know, but she's not old enough yet. I don't want to do 6-7 for the next 6 or 7 minutes.
Nope.
But the high schoolers will roll eyes. The middle schoolers are now like, It's a half eye roll, but they're still triggered by it.
Yeah.
So it's happening. I will tell you, the viral, remember the viral thing at In-N-Out where the whole crew knows that he's about to do order number 67 and everyone's ready to go crazy as soon as he's like, and the order ready is 67 and everyone goes crazy. So, drive back from Thanksgiving Saturday, I-5. We come out the Grapevine, horrid, horrid traffic.
Yeah.
And then we get off there at the Tejon Outlets,
yeah,
which what a bleep show that was. But we're going to go to In-N-Out because that's what the little people want. And it was the easiest to get in and out of, no pun intended. And we go in there, order number 68.
Oh,
I was like, come on.
We've
gotten in here 30 seconds earlier, you little snot noses. Get out of the car. We could have done it. We could have reenacted the whole thing.
It's a shame.
It really is. All right, we're live in the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. Let's get back to the phones. The coach in Vallejo beef with me. All right, coach.
Let's go straight to the coach.
Medium rare. Come on, coach. Let's go.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
And, because Willard, a year ago, you asked me if I did have a question with you to call your show and don't talk about you on another show. Okay? So that's what I'm doing.
Oh, beautiful. I do remember that, coach. That's right. So good on you.
Okay. My big beef is that with Jonathan Kuminga, and I don't have a dog in a fight, but whenever he makes a mistake, you know, the first thing you bring up is his IQ and decision making. How come last night he just couldn't have been faked out by one of the fakiest, shakiest smartest offensive players in the game. Lots of people could foul Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. That's why he leads the league in free throw shooting.
Right.
Maybe he was tricked.
But, Coach,
and it had nothing
coach,
to do with.
All right, so let me answer now. It's situational.
Sure.
It's situational. Basketball players need to know situations. And that, with 3 seconds left on the timer in the third quarter, you do not allow yourself to be vulnerable like that. And that one was way too easy for Shai. Was that the only mistake made on Shai last night? Of course not. Was it the most egregious one? I believe so. And I'm also trying to help people get a window into why I believe, this is all I can speak to, is what I believe. I believe that's why Jonathan didn't play in the fourth quarter. For people who see the three-pointer and the putback dunk and they go, why isn't he back in there? It was because of what I found to be an egregious mistake with his positioning and his situational awareness in defending SGA at the end of the third quarter. Now, that's not – understand, Coach, I'm not here now suddenly blaming the whole night on Jonathan. I'm observing one play that is also a snapshot of what Jonathan falls into, my opinion again, more than most Warriors. He struggles with decision-making, shot selection, and awareness of the clock, etc. And I'm not the only one who believes this. The organization believes it as well, which is why we're all in this spot with Jonathan Kuminga, you know?
May I reply?
Of course.
May I reply? Okay, now, last year, Draymond Green did the same thing. I mean, fouling, who was that, Holmgren, I guess, twice at the end of the game for three-point shots. No one mentioned his IQ. Todd's come in, throws up a three-pointer with 14 seconds on the clock. You never mention his IQ.
Well,
and here's what
Those are bad examples, Coach. Those are bad examples. Because shooting, when you're...
Let me finish my thought.
Okay.
Let me finish my thought.
Of course.
Okay, because I have a pretty good IQ. I have a degree from Pepperdine University, and I'm 70 years old.
I'm sure you do. You sound like a very intelligent person, Coach.
Okay, here's the thing that I do want you to understand, is that anytime your first go-to to any black athlete, and the first thing out your mouth is IQ.
This is unfair. I'm going to stop you right now, Coach, because your other example was Draymond Green. Don't do this, Coach. This is not about Jonathan Kuminga's ethnicity. It's just not. This is the NBA, for God's sakes. I don't know what the percentages are. I feel like when I watch a game, 85% of the league is black. And there are brilliant players out there. And by the way, Draymond Green is one of them, which is why you overlook a mistake here or there by Draymond, because he has a career resume that speaks to his on-court intelligence on both sides of the ball. Is that fair, Coach?
Have you ever used IQ on any white athlete?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've talked about it with 49er quarterbacks just this year and decision-making. Absolutely, Coach. So please don't make it about this. I am not a racist person. I don't have a racist bone in my body. That's not how I view sports or anything for that matter. Like, when you bring up Brandon Pajemski throwing up a three in a close game down the stretch, it didn't go in, but it wasn't a stupid decision. Like, you're down in the game, everybody's firing up threes. The whole arena is firing up threes. How many threes did they shoot last night? How many threes did the Warriors attempt last night?
Probably the usual 42.
Like, Brandon Pajemski putting up a three. It didn't go in, but you didn't look at it and be like, wow, what a crazy thing for him to do. So, Coach, come on, man. You're kind of doing a little bit of a selective morality thing here, in my opinion.
You know, really, now what I want to say is this. We're sensitive to those type of terms. Why can't Jonathan just make a mistake sometimes?
And Coach, he does. He does, and that's fine. I'm not sitting here telling you like they got to cut him tomorrow or anything like that. But, Coach, come on, man. You have some you sound like a very intelligent guy. You got some glasses on if you're telling me that Jonathan Kuminga does not struggle with shot selection. And, by the way, IQ was your word, not mine. I didn't use IQ.
No, you know what? They all struggle with shot selection. They really do.
Wow.
And, you know, like I said.
Go ahead. Go on. All right. I just, look, the situation is what it is with Jonathan Kuminga.
It is, but I do think that more and more I've tried to avoid using the phrase IQ because...
Which I didn't use.
I'm not saying you did. I'm just saying,
for the record,
in general, when you talk about plays that are made, and I think that when Pods comes in and he shoots a three early in the shot clock, fresh off the bench, that was probably not a good play or a smart play.
I agree with you.
I do think that the term IQ, I'm not saying you use it. I know it's thrown around a lot as far as like players and, you know, whether it's black players or white players or players from other nationalities, it becomes a little bit of a trigger point. And honestly, it doesn't even really matter in the situation. Like Jonathan Kuminga fouling Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in that spot, it was a bad play. And when you guard Shai, you have to know if you're black, white, or Asian, whatever.
Thank you. You
have to know that. Yeah. And I remember Klay Thompson guarding James Harden. He would guard him with his hands behind his back.
Exactly.
Because you know that James is going to go and look for you. It doesn't mean that Klay is now smarter for learning that, but when you guard certain players, you have to play a certain way. It has nothing to do with IQ or education or race. It has to do with like the awareness of what that player
exactly
is trying to do. And you could say the same thing about OKC. So he hits the free throws, and then they inbound it to Pods, and he dribbles all the way up, and he shoots a 35-foot leaner three. Like, OKC should know that he's going to do that, so go ahead and cut him off. Make him go right. But they didn't.
They didn't. Yeah.
And he hit a three.
I mean, listen, the phrase I've used constantly, and I stand by it, is shot selection. And Jonathan, right now, I mean, you told me, you're watching on TV, Bob Fitzgerald was going crazy about it last night, apparently. I was at the game. I didn't hear him.
Yeah, and just the mid-range.
Stop the fall-away mid-range with a hand in your face. Stop!
The only shots you should take now in the NBA are the 2-footer and the 23-footer. Anything else, unless
stop.
You're Kevin Durant, stop!
Thank you.
Yeah.
Stop!
All right, that was an actual beef. I thought it was going to be like a radio beef. That was actually...
Was that stink?
That was like...
A stink yesterday.
Yeah. Oh.
Stop!
Perfect. All right. Palate Cleanser, 888-957-95. We're going right back to this. But coming up next, Greg Cosell. And we'll do some X's and O's on the Niners. We're going to work on our material. And it's the bye week. And then we're going to get right back to everything that's going on. Do you feel right now Steve Curran going upstairs are doing a good job? It's Warrior Wednesday, brought to you by Freeman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live work and vignettes. Visit Freeman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. We're sponsored by Safeway as well. It's Willard and Dibs.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original. Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season.
from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Yeah, that's a great question, because I think that, you know, it's a great question and a hard question to answer.
On 95.7 The Game.
I wait for this, Mark, all week.
I give you one of these a week.
One of what a week?
Well, you could start the segment. Like, I'm not ready. I was putting a hoodie on. It got cold in here.
You were.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Wednesday. It's Willard and Dibs. And this, Mark, for me, is my weekly Super Bowl because we get to talk to an expert.
Super Bowl or bust.
The only guy in America who knows more about football than me, it's our very own Greg Cosell.
And, of course, also as he joins us. Right? Yep,
River Island. We're very humble today as well.
River Island's guest line.
It's close too, Greg, honestly.
This is what happens when I let him talk. We forgot to say that you're joining us on the River Island's guest line.
Yeah.
But and that you have become one of America's foremost handicappers. So we'll be asking you for I guess we can't ask you for a pick this week, Greg.
I guess I won't be doing that this week.
The Niners don't play.
No, they do not, and they're what are they? They're 9-4 now, huh?
I mean, that feels like a contender record, Greg.
It is a contender record. You know, they've got. I didn't look at their schedule for the remaining games, but obviously they'll have some division games. So it's going to be a fun time down the stretch, guys. With five? Let's see, 9-4. That would be 13.
Four to play.
Four games left.
One of them is a division game. They will host Seattle the final game of the year.
And who are the other three?
So they will host Tennessee, and then they will go on the road to Indy, and then they will host the Chicago Bears.
Oh, so you'd have to assume, and then we'll really talk real stuff. Now speculating, which is, you know, the fun part, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have to assume they're going to beat Tennessee. So then they've got three pretty tough games.
Right. Yeah, and so can't wait to dive in because each one of those have their own sort of idiosyncrasies, especially the Bears.
Yep.
They're sitting at the one seed, but a lot of people don't think they're the best team and whatnot. But before we get so ahead of ourselves, let's go back to Cleveland. And I would sort of love, and maybe this is easy, I know you get tired of the Purdy stuff, but coming off of a 3-interception game and then coming into a game where there was bad weather and a really good front, his decision-making, I thought, was different and really good. But what did you see from his play taking all that into account?
Well, he's obviously the best quarterback to ever play the game, don't you think?
Facts.
Cut that. And that's what I'm talking about. There you go, Greg.
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, on Sunday, to be honest with you guys, I watch the Red Zone. You know, Sunday is my day where I actually just enjoy football. So I'm not just watching one game. I just let it roll over me. I enjoy it, you know, because I kind of work a few hours during the week. So Sunday is just kind of let me watch some football and be a normal human being. So, you know, I don't see every single play, obviously. So when I put the tape on and I see the first play of the game, I just thought to myself, well, that's just Kyle Shanahan. And I don't know if you guys remember the first play of the game.
Where
he had used check for 23 yards. I mean, it just – that was so classic Shanahan, the way – they have this new thing, and I have to find out what it's called. I don't know what they call it, where Juszczyk is kind of in an angle alignment, and he goes in motion, and they do multiple things off of that. He has multiple motion concepts, and they do multiple things. It's become a staple of their offense. I'm sure you guys know what I mean. You can visualize it.
Yep.
But this time on that play, he released inside of Kittle to the closed boundary, and he ran a corner route. I mean, there's no way, and Jim Schwartz is absolutely one of the best who's been doing it for years and years and years, as you guys know, as a D coordinator in this league. But there's no way that he anticipated that was going to be the first call of the game. No way. And Purdy off play action boot, hit Juszczyk for 23 yards, and it just made the game right off the bat feel like, oh, this could be an interesting game. You know, and to me, that's just, you know, where Kyle is so good with those kinds of things.
And even all the teams that now emulate Shanahan's motion, they have come up with that now, Greg, which is kind of what you talked about, the angle motion where he's almost 45 degrees to the line of scrimmage, and he'll either come inside and help the tackle, or he'll go outside and help the tight end, or in this case, he'll kind of wiggle out. Has Shanahan really innovated even more off of his crazy motion now that teams are starting to copy him?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a slight innovation for sure. You know, I'm not one who ever uses the word revolutionize. I don't use that word, but I think it's just an innovation off the fact that Kyle's always been a high percentage motion guy, as you guys know. He's believed that, just like Sean McVay believes in high percentage motion. More and more teams obviously use motion now than ever before for multiple reasons. So you're always trying to find a way to show emotion and do things off that particular motion, because there's not going to be 1,000 motions. So what you have to do is try to figure out what you can do off motions, maybe a little tweak, like what we're just talking about. Like I said, I wish I knew what they called it, but I think people can visualize that Juszczyk kind of lines up. It's almost like a wing alignment, but he's angled, and then he does multiple things in the pass game, in the run game. They do a lot of different things off of it, and you know, I'm sure teams that the Niners will play will study this in detail and see if they can find some kind of tell, some kind of indicator. But, you know, obviously I'm not studying the way a defensive team in the league will, where they have six guys who are going through this, and I'm just, you know, one little lonely guy watching this, but it's pretty cool.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films, joining us here, Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game, as he does every Wednesday. Greg, I don't even know how to ask this question, because you're so good with regard to, like, the way the X's and O's come together. Are there X's and O's in special teams? Because the Niners went.
Asking me about something I truly don't know about.
Well, how did they go from the worst special teams team in the league to the best?
That I can't answer. Just being honest. But, you know, years and years ago, I'm going back 15 years, maybe longer. One of the best special teams coordinators in the league for years, a guy named Bobby April. I think his son is a coach. He came and spent a day with me, and this goes back a long time, so I certainly don't remember all the details. You know, he walked through a lot of things with me, and obviously that it has advanced in 15 years, just like everything has advanced. But yes, special teams is tactical, just like everything else. Nothing in this league is done on a whim. You know, I know a lot of fans, when teams don't do well, you know, they don't realize. I've been fortunate in my career, guys, that I've been able to go to training camps. Coaches have allowed me to sit in meetings. So I see all the details. And boy, is it detailed. That's the thing that always resonates with me when I sit in meetings. And obviously, I've been watching coaching tape. I think we got the coaching tape in 1991. So I've been watching coaching tape since then. And I keep learning and learning and learning. You're always learning. But nothing is done on a whim. Everything is detailed. Now, does that mean it's executed properly all the time? Of course not. I remember Merrill Hodge, who I worked with for years and years, one of my best friends, would always say, coaches have all the power but no control. Because you can coach it and coach it and coach it, but, you know, then the players have to go out and do it. You can't do it for them. So, but everything is coached. There's nothing that is, you know, just left to, hey, you know, I always use this example with quarterbacks, particularly the quarterbacks that are movement guys and make a lot of plays outside of structure. Still, practice is not, hey, they don't roll the ball out and say, let's run around and make a play today. That's the, you know, I'm sure you guys have been able over the years to see some 49ers, you know, practices and all that. Everything is detailed. And I'm sure when it's not done right, Kyle lets the people know who are not doing it right that, hey, that's really not the way you want it done.
Yeah, and for Cleveland, you've got Cordy catching a kickoff out of bounds, and then Larvandian muffs a punt. So I don't know if that's
You know what? The muffed punt, you know, I saw that play live, you know, because obviously Red Zone shows plays like that. You know, it's a turnover. You know, I mean, what as a coach, what are you going to do there? I mean, and then people say things like, well, it's bad coaching, you know, because they made a mistake on special teams. I understand as in every profession, some guys are, you know, coaches are better than others. It's like any profession. But, you know, when a guy drops a punt like that, and that was deep in his own territory too. I mean, I think they were already in the red zone when he muffed the punt, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, what do you say? I mean, you know, is that Kevin Stefanski's fault?
Yeah, I think that he coached him to actually catch the ball. So I'm going to put
probably. My guess is they probably did that when they were working on that.
Yeah, and that's great analysis by you.
Didn't coach him hard enough, obviously.
Yeah, apparently not. And it's Greg Cosell here on 95.7 The Game. I do want to take you back to the previous touchdown where Brock Purdy, and you already praised him as the best quarterback ever, but the read option, walk me through the read option play, third and goal from the two. Felt to me like 99% of the time he would give that, but he didn't. What did you see that he saw, Greg?
Oh, you mean that you're talking about the 2-yard touchdown on third and goal late in the third quarter, right?
Correct, yes.
Yeah. I mean, that was just your basic zone read. They don't do that very often. And how many times, you know, the one thing I can't remember was McCaffrey in the game or Robinson, but it doesn't matter.
It was McCaffrey.
The point is, it was McCaffrey, yeah, because I know Robinson did play some meaningful snaps in this game. So we know that McCaffrey, I mean, he's a touchdown machine, you know. So he gets the ball in those situations. So it was a great call because the first two plays, I believe, you know, they didn't go anywhere. And then we saw that the linebacker, Diabody, I believe it was, he crashed inside off the edge really hard. You know, he's looking to tackle McCaffrey and make a hero play, and Purdy just kept it. And you know what? You could have walked into the end zone on that one. It was so good. So it was just a really another really good call. And by the way, I thought the Jennings 7-yard touchdown too was a great example of just using motion, you know. And that was also a third down play, by the way, and that's so critical. You know, I'm not saying anything profound to say that you've got to score touchdowns in the red zone, but you know, there's ways to do that. And I've never been a believer, and they don't have those kinds of receivers. I've never been a believer, you know, in the fade ball, throwing it up. So you've got to scheme it. And I thought that obviously the Purdy 2-yard touchdown and the Jennings 7-yard TD were just beautifully schemed plays.
Greg, I'm curious, after 2 weeks as a starter, what is your review of Shedeur Sanders?
Yeah, he was not very good in this game. And you know, it's funny because the way he wasn't very good, guys, because obviously if you look at his numbers, you know, you go, oh, they're not terrible. But he just really didn't turn it loose in this game on throws that were there. And again, I don't know if I can't be in his head, but he struggled at times in this game processing from the pocket, with the result being that he left throws on the field that were there. Jerry Jeudy, if he threw the ball the way he should have, would have had 150 yards receiving. He missed Jeudy a number of times, and not the obvious one where he overthrew him, you know, everybody just sees that. Times where he didn't throw it to him when the play design was clean, and he's got to make those throws. You know, and one issue he had in college, which he showed again, he's been showing in the two games in which he played. This you can coach, by the way. He must learn to keep both hands on the ball when he moves in and out of the pocket. He has a very strong tendency to just hold the ball with one hand, and you cannot do that in this league. You just can't. But there were just too many times where the design of the play was really there. It was clean, and he just, for whatever reason, did not turn it loose. This was a game where just the processing part, the mental part, was just not there. And, you know, it's not enough reps to make any judgment, guys, believe me. I don't want people to think, oh, I'm deciding he can't play in the league. That's not true at all. This is only what the tape showed in this game. He's going to continue to play. He just needs more and more reps, and hopefully he continues to get better.
Yeah, and Deshaun Watson's practice window has been open, so maybe he'll hear footsteps from Deshaun Watson. I doubt that he actually will.
I'm not really sure what that means, Scott. He hasn't played in a long time, and then when he did play in Cleveland, he was actually not – you wouldn't even say he was not very good. He was bad.
Right.
So I don't know where he stands in his career at this point in time. And, again, we're not going to get into the other stuff.
No.
But there was a time in it through his first, what, 3-4 years – I can't remember how many years he was in Houston before he signed the big deal with Cleveland. But he looked like he was on his way to being a top-5 quarterback in the league, and it kind of all fell apart. And now he hasn't played in so long that, I mean, who knows?
Yeah, off the field and on the field, he has not done very well.
No.
He has not looked good. Greg, as we enter the bye week for the 49ers, I just thought that – we could ask you about, in general, the NFC and what you've seen, because
sure,
it feels like every team has its warts. When you look around the rest of the NFC, who really catches your eye as a team that you can bank on?
You know, it's funny you say that, because I've always been a believer, and I don't know if we've had this conversation, that if a team has whether you want to call it a weakness, a flaw, something that's not very good, it's the NFL, guys. That can crop up and hurt you anytime. So look what happened with the Rams. What is their weakness on the defensive side of the ball? It's the corner position because their front's really, really good. So obviously that was a game where no one thought that Carolina would beat them, but how did Carolina beat them? They hit some big plays in the pass game in critical moments because the as I said, the weakness, flaw, whatever you want to call it for the Rams defense is their corners. So it bit them in the you-know-where in this given game. It can happen any time in the NFL. And, you know, and that's just the way the league is. You know, they're still – even the bad teams, you know, they're still NFL players, and you never know in a given game, you know, that can happen. And it happened to the Rams.
So if you do kind of look around the league, though, I maybe here's a different way to ask it. Styles make sure. Fights. Of the other good teams in the NFL, what do you think would be kind of the most difficult matchups, if you will, for what the 49ers do?
Well, first of all, you know, I think that another team in their division is very good and getting better, and that's Seattle.
Yep, sure.
Seattle's defense is very, very good, and I know they play them again, as you said. They end the season with them, is that correct?
Correct. Last game of the year, yeah.
Where is that game?
It's here. It's in San Francisco.
Okay.
Yep.
You're right. They, you know, Mike McDonald is just, and I've heard him speak, you know, I don't spend a lot of time listening to press conferences and things like that, but every once in a while, you know, particularly when I watch tape and see something, sometimes I say, oh, I'd love to hear the coach talk about something. He's a really sharp guy, and their defense is getting better and better. The way they use their personnel, the way he's so multiple with his fronts, shows you different things, a lot of late rotation and coverage. You know, their defense is just getting better and better, and they've got that, you know, that puzzle player in Nick Emmanuel, the 6'3 and plus 220-pound, you know, safety slot corner, whatever you want to call him, who ran, I think, a 4.37, 4.38 at the combine. You know, they're really, really good. The front's good. The defense is getting better. Their weakness per se, if you want to call it a weakness, is they don't run the ball with the consistency that they want. So, you know, in any given game, could that be a problem where all of a sudden if a game comes down to where they're facing a lot of third and longs, does that become an issue? You know, maybe it does. But, you know, their defense is just a really, really good defense. Devin Witherspoon made a play this week. It was actually a 13-yard gain by T.J. Hockenson, but he ran from one side of the field to the other. And when I watched the tape, I had to just watch it a couple of times and go, oh, my God, that's Devin Witherspoon. I mean, so they're a fun defense to watch, and they're a tough team to play against.
Yeah, week 18, it'll be fun to see if that game actually matters. Greg, I just wanted to get your thoughts here as we get close to the end about Philadelphia. Yeah, sure. Like, what do you see from the Eagles on tape? Are they good enough to defend, or are they a train wreck, or somewhere in between?
Well, I think that I can only tell you what the tape shows.
Of course.
I think probably if you're making a big statement, there are probably some people who, because they still have a good roster, are just waiting for them to be, quote-unquote, the Eagles, and then other people who are saying what you just said, that, hey, this is one of those seasons where it's falling apart. We don't really know the answer to that. That's for the future. But what the tape shows, look, their identity last year, people keep saying, what's their identity? Well, their identity is running the football. They're not a drop-back passing team. So if they can't run the football, their offense does not have any real consistency to it. So we know what their identity is. They've just been bad at that identity. And they don't have another thing they can do. See, that's the problem. They're not a drop-back passing team. So if they can't run the ball and they get caught in too many long-yarded situations, because they lead the NFL in going 3-and-out this year, which was probably not on anybody's bingo card before the season, that the Eagles would lead the NFL in going 3-and-out on offense. But they don't have a true drop-back passing game, so therefore they get stuck on offense. And that's been a huge, huge problem for them.
Greg, I really want to ask you about one of the Niner receivers because he's been a favorite in our conversations through the last couple of seasons, quite frankly, and that's Ricky Pearsall. And I want to know, coming back from this injury, what you see, because he looks a little bit like the forgotten guy in the passing game. Three games since his return, 5 total catches for 19 yards and only a total of 9 targets. What do you see is going on with him?
I mean, to me watching, I don't see anything going on with him personally. You know, we've talked about the fact that, you know, they're kind of a passing game that doesn't focus on a player. But obviously 9 targets in 3 games is a very small amount for a starting wide receiver. The only way I would answer that is let's see how the season keeps progressing. You know, he came back from an injury. He missed more time than I think a lot of people thought he would when we first found out about the injury. You know, it seemed like every week, oh, Ricky might be back this week. And then all of a sudden a month goes by and he hadn't played. So, you know, again, I don't, you know, missing that time is a big deal. So let's just see how it goes. You know, I doubt he's lost his ability. You know, that doesn't really happen. I mean, he's a young player. So let's just see how it plays out. I mean, we've talked about the fact that there are some games in which Kittle doesn't have a lot of targets. Obviously, in this game, he had the 33-yarder, which was a great catch. And then he had a really big play where the Browns played zone that got him down into the low red zone. It was a 14-yarder. Let's see how it goes. You know, but it is a little strange. I certainly don't have an answer to that, because I'm not there. But, you know, 9 targets in 3 games is you'd expect a lot more.
Yeah, very, very low, obviously. All right, so as we said, no Niner game this week. So we'll give you the entire league, Greg. What's Greg Cosell's lock of the week for week 14?
Oh, God, I'm trying to look at what we're doing in my mashup show this week. There's some big games.
Are some very big games.
Yeah, I tell you, I'm fascinated by the Bengals and the Bills, and obviously that's the AFC, so, you know, maybe fans in San Francisco are not necessarily focused on that one, but Burrow is back. He's just a different cat. I mean, you watch him play. I had a coach describe him to me and tell me he's a computer chip. He just sees the game. You know, it's intuitive. You know, there are times Purdy's like that too, just the way he sees it. Burrow just makes the Bengals a team that you never know. And by the way, their defense has somewhat improved the last couple of weeks. And the Bills are a very, very odd team to me.
Yep.
Because they've got a quarterback who, you know, to me is the most physically gifted quarterback in the league. And I've believed that for years. And yet they don't really throw the ball a lot if the game doesn't call for it. And I'm pretty sure it's because they don't feel good about their wide receiver core. But they are a running football team. I mean, who would have thought that James Cook would have 232 carries at this point in the season? You know, and he's not a big man, so you wonder, you know, if he's going to hold up. But they're a fascinating team to me because they have this quarterback that really is not being asked to do very much. And then the game that is truly fascinating is also an AFC game,
yep,
is the Texans and the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Because the Chiefs, it appears, are going to be playing with 2 backup tackles. That's what it looks like as of now. Now, we're talking on a Wednesday. Who knows, you know, tomorrow's there's practice, Friday's there's practice, but they're 2 starting tackles. One of them's on IR. The other didn't practice today. So if they're playing with backup tackles against Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, And by the way, the interior of their D-line is pretty good too. And they've got stars everywhere on their defense. That's a fascinating game to me. A fascinating game.
Boy,
Texans and Bengals parlay. Thank you, Greg.
Yeah, boy, it would be such a shame if the Chiefs missed the playoffs, yeah. Greg. Such a shame.
Yeah. I know you guys would be unhappy about that. You know,
I wouldn't want that.
Well, it's funny. I remember a couple years ago, and I'm sure you guys remember it extremely well, and it just shows you how fans are, walking out of the stadium in Las Vegas. And fortunately, I was staying in Mandalay Bay, which was the league hotel, so I could walk. And obviously, it was the game that the 49ers lost to the Chiefs.
Oh,
and, you know, there are a lot of questions, the whole deal. And I'm listening to 49ers fans, and I don't engage. You know, I'm just walking and smiling. And all I'm hearing is, you just got to fire Shanahan. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing. You know, because it's so raw in that moment. You know, you're a big fan. You live and die with it. And you just lost a game that you easily could have won. And you're just feeling like, you know, you got to blame somebody.
It's funny, Greg. I don't remember the game you're talking about at all.
Me either, yeah.
Yeah, it's been yeah. So, anyway, hey, Greg, great stuff. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, guys, I love being with you every week. Thanks so much.
Us too. All right, Greg Cosell, NFL Films, brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Back to your Warrior phone calls coming up next. From Steve Kerr on upstairs right now. Are the Warriors doing a good job? 888-957-9570. This is Willard and Dibs.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Pajemski in the backcourt with three, with two, with one, gets it to the front court, shoots a runner, it's on the way. It's good! He hit it! Is that a three? I think it is.
I think you're right.
Just cut the lead in half. Got the ball up quickly. No doubt that he released it in time. A 44-28 quarter for the Dubs. They've made the fourth quarter of the game.
Dub Nation, this is Brandon Pajemski. You're listening to Willer and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
Yeah.
Pods.
Pods. The okay. Pods pound.
Can we do this?
We can.
Let's just do it.
I'm more struck by the dog pound rejoin. For those of you on YouTube, it's the Snoop Dogg, the first album, and I'm looking at Grandy, and that album came out before he was born.
Oof.
Yeah, I believe 95, so.
But Grandy probably knows all the words.
Of course, because he's an
never,
old soul.
Yeah, Lucas has never heard of it. So Lucas, Snoop is, never mind.
What?
Yeah.
Never heard of Snoop Dogg?
Yeah, that's my guess.
Snoop Huntley?
Yeah, exactly.
Snoop Dogg was involved in one of my my greatest moments in live entertainment history.
Do tell.
I was doing an on-field announcing of the Wounded Warriors flag football game.
Okay.
Down at the College of San Mateo. And Snoop shows up.
Yeah.
That was not my finest moment. But Snoop goes out there, and I'm doing like, I'm on the field, and I'm doing on-field play-by-play, and there's a throw to Snoop, and it hits him right in the hands, and he drops it.
Dropped it.
And I hit him with a Snoop droppy drop.
Oh, wow.
And the crowd went wild.
What did Snoop do?
He looked at me, and he had to like, give me the nod, because he knew I was right.
Accountability.
Correct.
Way to go, Snoop.
Then he left at halftime.
Yeah, he wasn't going to sit there and listen to that anymore.
Well, I mean, he had to go. Anyway. Yeah. Snoop droppy drop. It was a good throw.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Damn right it was a good throw.
Anyway, pods, let's get into it.
Well, it's not just pods.
888-957-9570. Why do you hate him?
No, I'm not going to do why. This is just an observation. And the Warriors, as an organization, they get to do something with this going forward. That's it. This fan base, and I'm not going to say, it's not nothing that we say means everybody. Like nothing. There are so many different opinions and angles from the fan base. But here's like the quick summation of what we've been through today. We reboot it and let you know that from now until the end of this show, 2+ hours from now, it's just you and let's talk out this Warrior situation. 888-957-9570. Okay? And the question we're asking is, are they doing a good job? From Steve Kerr on up. Because we've separated this into three different sort of topics. There's the micro. No, I would not have taken Pat Spencer out last night, even if the dude was tired. Because we were all watching a story, and I wanted to see the end of the movie. And the movie ended. before it ended because you took Pat Spencer out. And that was the movie we were watching. I'm not like terribly mad about it because I just don't have it in my body to get mad about Pat Spencer being taken out of a basketball game. But I was there. I wanted him to stay in. I noticed it right away. I thought to myself, why is he taking Pat Spencer out? But he took Pat Spencer out, and then you followed it up with a Pods miss and a Pods turnover, and here we go. So that's the micro.
And you're down seven, and it's pretty much over.
Ball game. And the whole time I thought the Thunder were going to win. They're the champs. They're really good at finishing games. They're phenomenal. They're so good. And they shoot well, and they're deep, and they're fast, and they're tall, and they're all the things that the Warriors sometimes aren't. But I still wanted to see the end of that movie. So that's kind of the micro. The macro is, are the Warriors doing a good job? Look, my mind goes to the offseason, and I still don't really understand why they allowed this thing to kind of go the way that it did, which is their offseason got dominated by one person, and they couldn't make any moves until training camp. It got weird and wonky. We had an agent come on the station for like 2.5 hours live from a gym while Jonathan is like performing over his left shoulder. The whole thing is just weird. And the Warriors, they allowed that to dominate their offseason. And could they have gotten into this thing a little bit earlier and maybe gotten someone who's 7 feet tall and could defend the rim? I don't know, but maybe. That's my frustration. So that's sort of the macro. And then there's the what I put in the other category, which is twofold. And it's always about Kuminga and Pods. And here for me is the bottom line. Jonathan had some nice moments last night. He had more not nice moments. Whatever. It's a Tuesday. It's not a big deal. But his agent tweeting about it from the stands, what the hell are we doing out there in the middle of the fourth quarter, as if Jonathan is the linchpin to the whole fourth, which was not the case because the Warriors were playing well, and the linchpin people last night were Pat Spencer and Seth Curry. So his agent is out there contributing to continued toxicity in this relationship. And then meantime, here comes Brandon Pajemski, who has had a nice night. He played well. He was their leading scorer along with Pat Spencer at 17 points. And they stick him in the game, and they pull Pat, and Brandon has two bad possessions, and here we are again. And my observation is, I don't really even care what the reason. I don't care why anymore. Here's the observation. This fan base doesn't really like Pods. And it's kind of a problem. It's a problem for the Warriors. Like, your favorite NBA team is not built for you to not like them. But that's where we are, because he's got floppy hair, and he thinks he's better than he is, and he does odd things on the court sometimes, and he represents something that a lot of fans resent, because he represents, oh, you get to play through your bad decisions while XYZ and my favorite players over there are watching you play. That's it.
I'm trying to think about the comp, and the first one I thought about was Patrick Bailey, where you know, Patrick Bailey, you get to play even though you hit 210, and boy, you're a good defender, and you can throw people out, and you can frame better than anyone, so you get to play 130 games because you're that guy, even though we're going to bat you eighth, you're going to bat you ninth, and you have the one or two great moments a year, but by and large, you are a net negative as far as fans are concerned. And I was thinking about the 49er comp, and it might be Colton McKivitz, where everyone thinks that Colton McKivitz is this turnstile. And we talked yesterday to John Feliciano, and if you look at McKivitz as he grades out at PFF and as he's considered around the league, he's a good right tackle. He's not elite. He's not Trent Williams, but to me, he's a guy that fans think about worse than the team actually does. And that's kind of where I'm looking at this, Mark,
because the Warriors
look at Pods in a way far and above what the fans think about him.
Although, I guess, isn't the comp on the 49ers, it's way too big, I guess, for a perfect comp, but the comp is Purdy. It's Purdy.
It is, but like,
Kyle loves him. They paid him $53 million, and the world's looking at him like, that little guy? The little 6 foot guy who can't see over the line? You gave him $53 million?
Sure. I guess that's a fair one, because if you look at Pods last year, I think in totality of the year, and plus minus for me is only useful when you look at an entire year.
I agree.
And he was plus 265 or plus 270. He was among the best plus minus people in the association. And I just looked this up as far as the Warriors lineups. Last year, in the three-man combos, which Steve Kerr loves, three of the top seven lineups last year involved pods. And this year, three of the top seven lineups involve pods.
Interesting.
So when you look at combos and like how the team plays with three of the five guys on the floor, Brandon Pajemski is a part of at least half of them year over year.
I'm so glad you said what you just said about plus minus. Don't do it on a night-to-night basis. Have you looked? Do you already know? Three Warriors last night were in the plus.
Yeah.
Do you know who they were?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. I looked at it.
I was going to say, I'd give you $1,000 if you could pick. Just those of you who watched the game, who are the three names that would come to mind? They were in the plus last night.
Well, Pat Spencer.
Nope.
Seth Curry.
Nope.
And probably Draymond Green, because he...
Nope. Actually, he was the worst. He had the worst plus minus of the whole team.
Right. I mean, you would think Pat Spencer, because, boy, Pat cooked. And as I woke up this morning, I listened to the roast, and I listened to Steiny and Goo. I had to go back and look, because in my mind, Pat was amazing. But for everything that Pat did great, it felt like Oklahoma City came down and scored on the other end.
Yep.
And they actually did.
Kind of. Although
Bay Area, it's Pat Spencer.
There you go. Hi, Pat. 925 texted in and said, Will Richard. Nope. I just keep saying nope. You would. That's why I'd offer $1,000.
What's up, Bay Area? It's Will Richard.
Nope, not you. You. The people who were in the
Bay
plus
Area. One, this is Quentin Post.
Yep.
Hey,
yep.
Dibs, I like your stat reading.
Like the
Dub Nation. It's Quentin Post.
Thank you.
The people who got positive plus minus last night also got pulled and yelled at on the bench.
Bay Area, this is Jonathan Kuminga.
Hello, Jonathan. Yep, you were one of them. Quentin Post, you were another one. And lastly,
Pride of Arkansas.
Do you have
Bay
it?
Area, it's Moses Moody.
There he is. Hey, Moses, get over here and sit down. Yeah, he was in the plus.
Yep.
So don't do it on a night-to-night basis because it tells you nothing.
The one thing about plus-minus that I have kind of hung my hat on is plus-minus relative to what the team did. I think that has power. For example, if you lose by 12 and you are better than a minus 12, then you were a net positive on that night. So, like, Pat Spencer was a minus 5. The team was a minus 12, so for me, you were slightly better than what the overall team was.
I don't even do that. Like, if you, by that definition, there were only two bad Warriors all night, and they were Draymond and Jimmy.
Right. And if you,
that's it.
It's interesting you say that because Jimmy went to the locker room and didn't come back.
Right.
And Draymond got his fifth foul early in the third quarter, and he sat. And while he sat, and Jimmy was in the locker room, and Steph was in the suite. That's when the Warriors went on the run.
Yeah, but I mean, Draymond was 5 of 11. He hit 3 three-pointers, 13 points, 9 boards, 4 assists. He did have a few turnovers, as he always does. He had a block. You know, but yeah, he was the worst on the whole team. So I just don't think there's a lot of accuracies when you do it on a night-to-night basis.
Agreed, which is why I do think about pods, and you look at last year and the whole year, he was one of the most positive players in the association. And even, you know, this year so far, he has been not as good as last year, but he's still a plus 7 overall on the year.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app. We're coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. This is Warrior Wednesday, which is brought to you by Freedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances in live working vignettes. Visit Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.